you pursuing a natural lifestyle for yourself and your family? Are you concerned about the standard American diet and options available for healthcare? Are you curious about herbs for health or already practice home herbalism? You've come to the right place. My mom, Naomi Kilbrick, is a Christian clinical herbalist and owner of Laura Chi Wellness. She teaches simple ways to live in a more healthy way and to work with plants to promote and restore health. Welcome to the Family Herbalism Podcast.
Welcome back to the Family Herbalism Podcast. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Our family definitely did. We got together for dinner with some of our family members and had a wonderful time together visiting and sharing things we're thankful for. And one of the things that I'm thankful for is that I am here on a Monday releasing an episode to you that has been in the works. This one is actually requested by another listener, and it's all about kidney health. And I have talked about urinary tract health before in the same season 3, episode 8, but there is so much more to say about kidneys. They help us with so many different things, not just filtering, which is one of the things we're most familiar with. And they're also really important to consider when choosing herbs to make sure that they are going to be safe and helpful for a person's kidneys. I've had clients with kidney disease, clients with decreased kidney function, clients with kidney stones, and even missing kidneys. So they're definitely things to keep in mind when choosing supportive measures and herbal remedies that can be helpful for improving their overall well-being and function. And since that last episode, that episode 8, which I created about urinary tract health, I've also developed additional remedies for urinary tract infections and stones. But today I'm not really going to be talking much about these. More so what happens when function slows down or there is inflammation in the general urinary tract system. So while UTIs and stones do get a lot of attention because they demand it, we know when we have a kidney stone or a UTI, many people live with a low level of chronic dysfunction, and that directly impacts many other areas of health. So it's something that's not given enough attention, really. And so today we're going to be talking about promoting general kidney health. I always like to start off with what is the function of an organ system when I'm talking about understanding and recognizing the value of a certain area of the body. So let's talk about the kidneys. The kidneys are two organs that are found partially underneath your rib cage, one on each side of your body. And they look like beans, and most of us have seen even cartoon images of them in anatomy drawings. But what is seen from the outside is really a capsule that's holding about a million sac-like organelles called nephrons. And each nephron is made of a glomerulus that filters and tubules that send filtered substances where they need to go, whether that's back into the bloodstream or out of the body through the urine. And then the whole thing is covered in a network of arteries, veins, and capillaries. And then extending out of the middle of that bean-like capsule is what we call the renal pelvis. And this is the area that connects the kidney to the ureters for excretion of urine. So it looks like a tube that's fairly wide at the beginning where it connects to the kidney. And then the urine is sent out of the body, and it normally contains a combination of water, uric acid or protein wastes, and electrolytes, which does include salt. Now, kidneys are known for filtering out toxins, but they actually have a wide number of important jobs. For one, kidneys determine if there's enough oxygen in the blood, and if there are enough red blood cells to carry that oxygen. If red blood cells are determined to be low, the kidneys will send a hormone called erythropoietin to the stem cells in the bone marrow, which get the message and make more red blood cells. Thus, one form of anemia is caused when the kidneys are not healthy enough to be able to communicate this message. And it's also why taking lots of iron may not be enough for some people in order to boost their iron levels. Now, when the kidneys filter the blood of toxins and metabolic debris that is dumped there by the lymphatic and cardiovascular systems, they use messages from the adrenal and pituitary glands to determine how much water and electrolytes should be returned to the bloodstream. The adrenal glands send aldosterone to the kidneys if there is too much water in the body. This tells them to excrete more into the bladder. And then the pituitary gland sends vasopressin to the kidneys if they need to retain more fluids in the body. Thus, if there is an imbalance with how much the kidneys are processing for fluids, look to the adrenal glands and the pituitary. These are really important. The eight basic disease conditions of the kidneys, as described by Matthew Wood, are lack of filtration, inadequate urination, excessive urination, which is often caused by excess blood sugar, kidney stone formation, renal anemia, which is what we just talked about, where the iron levels are low, but not just because there is a deficiency of iron. Also, inefficient electrolyte absorption, which leads to hypertension. Inflammation from overactivity of the kidneys. This is often caused by insomnia or lack of quality sleep, which keeps the kidneys active. And then finally, bacterial infection. Multiple disease names could be used with each of these, but when treating the body as a whole, it's not the disease names that count, but what is actually happening throughout the body. For example, many of us are familiar with the symptoms of dehydration, and we're aware that if our urine is dark or minimal in quantity, that is a sign that we have been dehydrated for a while. But dehydration, which leads to inadequate urination and stress on the kidneys, can be caused by too much sweating, not enough drinking water, a prolonged fever, diarrhea, or any other number of situations. The fluid that should be going through the kidneys is leaving the body through the skin or the colon or simply being used up by the cells too quickly. And I'll share about some herbs that can help here in a bit. But let's consider the other hand. If the skin is not able to sweat at all, or if you're constipated or cold, you may hold on to too much moisture in your body, and that puts more pressure on your kidneys to excrete it all. So too much and too little, both not very good situations. There are also emotional states that can lead to kidney symptoms as well. And we know that there was a point in time where some people believed that emotions did not have a direct impact on the body, but we know that to be a false idea, and it is actually true that your emotions can directly impact the symptoms that you experience in your body. So for an ironic word choice, being pissed for a long time and having a hard time releasing that emotion can lead to trouble releasing urine. And in this case, you might need help eliminating toxic emotions. People who are holding on to anger also have a tendency to have a short temper. It's like the emotions are simmering and anything can make it boil over. So this type of emotional story or experience is often associated with some imbalance or inflammation in the kidneys. Also, long drawn out life situations that cause worry, fear, or feelings of judgment or exhaustion from day-to-day stress can lead to kidney symptoms. If you've eaten all the right things and worked with all the great herbs and you still have problems that keep coming back, look to what is going on in your life that may be interfering with your kidney health. Another situation that can lead to kidney stress that's sometimes easy to resolve is taking too many supplements. It may be a surprise to hear, but more is not always better. And if you're taking 30 supplements, which some people do find themselves in that situation, that's actually putting stress on your kidneys. The more products you take, the more your body has to sort through and the harder it has to work. I've had some clients who have been taking the same supplements for years, and if you just keep adding more, even if the supplements are the best in the world, it may be a good idea to review everything you're taking and simplify, if possible, to take some pressure off from your kidneys. Now, signs that your kidneys are struggling include repetitive infections, stones, having to get up to pee more than once a night on a regular basis, you don't sweat even when it's hot out, your urine looks discolored, foamy, or mucousy. The sides of the back of your tongue are where you see kidney signs. So if you look in the mirror and you stick your tongue out so that you can see the sides of your tongue way in the back, if these look bright red or swollen, your kidneys may be inflamed. If they have a blue or purple hue, they may be having difficulty filtering, or there may be less than adequate blood flow around them. If your tongue is generally dry or very mucousy, your kidneys may not be regulating fluids as well. Now remember, these are not definitive signs. You can't diagnose anything by looking at your tongue because they have to be taken in context with other signs, but these pointers can be helpful, so keep them in mind as you're brushing your teeth and looking at your face in the mirror. Stick your tongue out and see what you can see. Labs can also be helpful in uncovering the need for kidney support. These are frequently provided to patients on a yearly basis by their standard medical care provider. And a surprising number of labs can actually help you to see what's going on with your kidneys, even if they aren't specifically for a kidney panel. Numerous tests can be used to compare to each other for confirmation of any suspicion. So I'm going to list off several different labs that you might see on a standard test. And if you see these results on any of your labs, I would encourage you to ask your doctor or the person who asked for the labs to be done to ask for more clarification on what it means for you. The first one is listed as GFR, which is the glomerular filtration rate. And if it's less than 70, it can mean that your kidneys are having trouble for some reason with filtering out things that are in your blood. If your red blood cells are lower than 4, which represents 4 million, then there may be something going on with your kidneys. Hematocrit less than 37%, hemoglobin less than 11 grams, your HbA1c, which is part of the liver panel, if that's higher than 5.7, it indicates stress on the kidneys. AST is an enzyme that's also done on a liver panel, and if it's more than 40, then it can indicate stress on the kidneys. A high or low ALP enzyme is normally between 3.5 and 5.5 grams per deciliter. If it's below or above that, it can indicate stress. If your total protein is over 8.5 grams per deciliter, your uric acid is above 5.5 milligrams, your BUN or urea nitrogen is less than 20 milligrams. If your creatinine, which is a waste product of protein, if that's above 1.2 milligrams, and if any of your electrolytes, including sodium, potassium, chloride, and calcium, are out of balance, any of these can point toward kidneys that are just under a little bit of stress for whatever reason. And the more of these signs that you have together, the more indicative of that that it is. So if it's just one, for example, if your HbA1c is higher than 5.7, that indicates that probably your overall glucose rate, your blood glucose, has been higher than it should be over an extended period of time. And by itself, that can mean any one number of things, mainly that blood sugar needs to be regulated, but that can influence a lot of different areas of the body. And one of them is the kidneys. So it doesn't mean that your kidneys are suffering at that point, but it can point toward your kidneys as one area of your body that is having to work harder because your average blood glucose is higher. Now, if we've established that your kidneys are under stress, what can we do about it? Well, there are a huge number of herbs, as always, that can be supportive to kidney health. And it was really hard to narrow this list down because I refer to a lot of different herbs for different situations. But I picked 12 that can be more so either tonics or just helpful for a wider range of people. So I'm going to share a little bit about 12 different herbs that I would consider if someone were experiencing some kidney stress. Staghorn sumac is the first one. Sumac berries are astringent and cooling, so they're great for relaxed tissues, which can include excess clear pee or other signs of dampness, where there's just free-flowing fluid. And sometimes the tongue can actually be dry in cases of free-flowing fluid. Say that 10 times fast. because the body is becoming dehydrated from losing too much fluid. Other ways that sumac can help are with anemia, especially related to kidney health, or fluid loss or dehydration from oversweating, also with excess urination that's caused by high blood sugar. Dandelion leaf is number two, and this one is very popular. A lot of people refer to dandelion when they think kidneys. It can be overused, so I do hesitate to use a lot of dandelion leaf for someone who has a history of a lot of stress on their kidneys, just because I feel like it can be a little bit too aggravating. But it can reduce excess urination by replenishing potassium. So if your potassium is out of balance, if it's diminished and you want to bring it back up again, dandelion leaf is full of potassium and can help to bring those electrolytes back in balance. And it can also help with reducing kidney pain because it is helping everything to flow more easily through the kidneys and be filtered a little bit more easily. Yarrow is the next one on my list. This works great for people who have dark, copper-colored, scanty urine, and it increases the flow. It's a diuretic, but it also helps to reduce the loss of protein and fat through the urine because it is also a carminative. It helps with digestion. It helps you to process nutrients in a more efficient way so that not as much is being sent to the kidneys to be processed and thereby takes off some stress from the kidneys. It also works great with if there is an infection going on, because it has an affinity to the kidneys. It is great for promoting blood flow, which is also really important. So there's a lot of ways that yarrow can be supportive to the kidneys. Goldenrod comes next. Goldenrod, again, gets a bad rep, but it's actually a wonderful plant, even for those who maybe especially so for people who have allergies, because it is antihistamine. And it works great in tea, in tincture, and also a salve form for renal symptoms or kidney symptoms. If you have a sore, stiff lower back or pain on your back behind where your kidneys are, you can apply a goldenrod salve to that area topically to relieve some discomfort. Also, it works great for the person who's having knee pain or a cold lower half of their body because it's pretty warming. These are areas of the body that seem to be carrying referred pain from the kidneys. So, for example, when someone is having heart symptoms, sometimes they experience shoulder pain on one side. And in the same way, a person who is experiencing kidney trouble may experience low back pain or stiff, sore knees, and even painful feet after a while. And goldenrod can help with that. The symptoms are generally from stress-induced exhaustion. Goldenrod also helps to reduce the loss of excess proteins through the kidneys, just like yarrow does. If you have a history of weak kidneys with repeat infections, a history of STDs that are impacting your kidneys, a hereditary weakness or other illness that affects the kidneys on a regular chronic basis, consider goldenrod among your tools. Next, I have cinquefoil. Cinquefoil is not commonly used in herbal medicine, but it's a traditional plant that is used in folk medicine, has been for a long time. It's part of the rose family, very safe for all people. And it supports the kidneys in stabilizing fluid levels, so it reduces the edema that seems to come and go at random and very suddenly. So a person who suddenly has swollen ankles or swollen fingers, and the next thing you know, it's gone. The cinquefoil can help to stabilize the fluid so that it's not coming and going very quickly, but rather staying at a healthy level. Juniper berry is next on my list, and juniper is one that some people prefer not to work with because it is so astringent that it can be a little bit abrasive to the kidneys. I prefer to work with it in small doses for kidneys that are just exhausted from overuse because it can really make a difference with a lot of different types of kidney symptoms, including infections. And also edema in the ankles where there is pitting. So pitting is when you say you have some swelling around your ankles and you gently push one finger into the skin of your ankle, and then you let go. When you let go, if you can still see the indentation of your finger, that's called pitting. And doctors and midwives will measure how deep that pitting is to determine how serious your kidney and liver troubles are affecting you. So if there is pitting in the ankles, juniper berry can be really helpful in resolving that in that level of edema. It can also help with low back pain, with weak nerves, cold and dry skin, and heart symptoms. Bone set is next on my list. Bone set is useful when there is mucus in the pee or excess or decreased urination, for kidney pain, or excess protein found in your urine tests. Again, some of these, you're looking for total protein in your blood labs being too high, but also if a urine test or a urinalysis is done and there is a lot of protein found in your urine, that means that your body's not holding on to protein that it actually needs. You're just peeing it out. So bone set can help where that is the case. Bone set is related to comfrey, so it is best to avoid taking more than one plant at a time that is in the comfrey family, and bone set is one, so just keep that in mind if you decide to work with bone set. Horsetail is another wild plant that I like to work with. It is astringent, and any astringent plant is going to be toning to the tissues. And where there is injury, and you need toning to draw the edges of the wounds together so that it strengthens and heals the tissue more efficiently. And horsetail is not only astringent, but it's high in silica, which is also needed for a lot of smooth muscle tissue to heal it. So horsetail can be great for any history of irritation in the bladder or in the kidneys. It actually helps to heal damage that has been done to the kidneys. For example, if there were kidney stones and now there is this leftover inflammation, horsetail can help to heal that damage. It also helps to relieve incontinence, bedwetting, and prostate inflammation by the same mechanisms. And then we have corn silk. And this is really, I love corn silk because it is so gentle for all people. It is very nutritive and it is going to be safe for small children and elderly. It is food grade, so you cannot go wrong with corn silk. It is great for any kind of dryness or irritation or inflammation of the kidneys. So I very frequently put it into blends when I suspect that there is some type of inflammation or something going on with the kidneys. I will put corn silk in there just to help nourish and support them. And then we have nettle. Nettle is another one that's commonly used for kidney health. It's right up there with dandelion leaf. And nettle is considered dry. It's pretty drying. Some people who have a tendency toward dryness can actually get headaches if they take too much nettle. But nettle is also salty, and so it can draw water toward the kidneys, where the water can then be distributed as it needs to be. So even though it is drying, it doesn't tend to have a drying effect on the kidneys. It can actually help to reduce edema through this regulation and should be considered if your kidneys have a tendency toward illness, just like you would with goldenrod. Number 11, getting close to the end of this list, is saw palmetto. Now, saw palmetto is frequently talked about in regards to prostate inflammation because it helps to balance hormones, different reproductive hormones, and it also has an affinity to the pelvic bowl and all the organs associated, and it is anti-inflammatory. So it really helps to reduce prostate inflammation and can help all sorts of reproductive and urinary tract imbalances that are happening both for men and for women. It is a general tonic and strengthener of the urinary system and is just a great one to consider, although it is very bitter, so you will want to keep that in mind that if you're putting that into a blend where you can taste it, you may want to bring in some other herbs that have a less bitter component to them. And then finally we have borage. This is excellent for where the adrenals are implicated. So if the kidney symptoms are associated with stress of some kind, where they were induced by stress, and either you have excess or decreased urination, borage can be very helpful for reducing those symptoms. Usually in this case, you would see decreased urination because the adrenal glands are underfunctioning, and again, the adrenal glands are responsible for balancing fluid levels, and we would end up with decreased or minimal urine in this case, and we want to bring it back up to the normal range. So borage can be great there. Now for kidney remedies, I prefer working with teas for more urgent needs and tinctures for more chronic concerns. And this is because water infusions are going to be filtered through the kidneys. And so if it is urgent that a person experience relief from their kidney symptoms, tea can be a really effective way of just getting those herbs right to the kidneys. But sometimes that can be difficult to be consistent with for longer term use. So if what you're trying to do is nourish your kidneys to resolve symptoms that have been not serious but lingering over a period of time, if maybe you're concerned about lab results but you don't have any symptoms and you just want to make sure that you're on the right track toward wellness, then tinctures may be easier to be consistent with. If that's not the case for you, if you can be consistent with teas every day, that's awesome. But if that's difficult for you, then tinctures may be more appropriate. If you're working with diuretics, which is most of the herbs I just mentioned, you should consider working with them before noon each day to avoid overstimulating your kidneys and bladder before bed. One of the names, I believe it was the German name for dandelion, look it up, is associated with having problems at bedtime because of taking dandelion too late in the day. Common doses for adults are 1 to 3 cups of tea or 1/2 to 2 droppers of tincture a day. Salve or infused oils can be applied on the back over the kidneys or on the lower back, wherever you're feeling the symptoms. The length of time you would need to continue using a remedy depends on what it is for. So the more serious the condition, the more nutritive and long-term your remedy should likely be. But you'll want to continue a remedy for at least 1 or 2 months to experience a significant improvement. There are also foods that are great for the kidneys, and these are mostly watery foods like lettuce, lemon, watermelon, asparagus, beets, celery, pears, peaches, and cucumbers. Getting these into your diet on a daily basis even, choosing foods from lists of watery fruits and vegetables will be especially supportive. Also, kidney beans are really great. Kidney bean water is soothing to the kidneys, and it's funny because there is a philosophy around foods and herbs that look like certain organs of the body being especially good for them, and that happens to be true with kidneys. Watermelon seeds in particular are great at reducing fluid loss from sweating. So sometimes watermelon seed capsules or tincture are taken as a way to recover from long days in the sun more quickly. Now, if you have concerning kidney signs, it is important to speak with a healthcare provider who can help you rule out serious problems and guide you in recovery. What I share here is not to replace this care, but can be used alongside medical care. And often that's the best, when you can take the best of both worlds and nourish your body with foods and herbs that are going to be supportive while you are at the same time taking medication if needed to support more serious conditions. In the case of severely compromised kidneys, kidney disease, or failure, it may be necessary to avoid some of the herbs that would otherwise be of help to the kidneys. They may just be too stimulating. So I put dandelion leaf on that list because I have seen that to be true. But other herbs that you may need to use more caution around include kava, skullcap, licorice, astragalus, parsley root, and cat's claw. It will be important to work with a clinical herbalist and a medical doctor to ensure that you're working with tools that are individualized to your situation. With that said, for many people in this situation, it is helpful to work with herbs that will move dampness out of the kidneys. That's very typical for someone who has more of a chronic, more major kidney condition going on. So dampness getting moved out with warming herbs, with some more drying herbs, not always drying. Sometimes it's just more stimulating and moving herbs that are warming, like angelica, thyme, rosemary, calendula. Then we have boneset, goldenrod, and St. John's wort. All of these can be useful, not necessarily for every person, but herbs like this that have similar characteristics can be very important. Echinacea may be able to stop excess protein loss through the kidneys, as well as nettle. And cordyceps mushroom, this is probably one of my favorites for people who have more serious kidney conditions where we're not sure what else is going to be safe for them. Corn silk, definitely right up there. But also cordyceps mushroom, which is used by the herbalist David Winston for degenerative kidney disease and protecting the kidneys from the effects of chemo and other serious drugs that need to be taken for long-term survival and health health risks associated. And so cordyceps mushroom is really great, and I definitely include that in many of my herbal protocols for clients. If you are in this position and you may have been told to avoid eating too much protein. Now, this is really an important point because if you eat too much protein, if you are taking protein supplements and you're taking too much into your body, this can irritate the kidneys and may actually increase the amount of protein loss through urination. So you're not just losing the typical amount of, you know, protein that you might otherwise have been losing, but also additional protein. The percentage or the rate goes up the more protein you take when the kidneys are under functioning. However, the advice that is given to a lot of people is therefore eat less protein. But of course, under eating protein causes its own set of problems. For example, if your kidneys are needing to rebuild cells, you need protein to do that. So you're actually hobbling the kidneys, you're preventing them from healing themselves by not eating enough. So I recommend in this case, if you've been told not to eat too much protein, to focus on food-based protein rather than supplements, unless you're talking about amino acids, which is a little bit different than just taking wholesale protein supplements. And focusing on reducing the inflammation in your kidneys, because if you can reduce the inflammation, you'll be able to tolerate higher amounts of protein and thus be able to regenerate some kidney tissue. The herb that I decided to focus on for today, big surprise, is corn silk. The corn kernels are called zea maize in Latin, but the corn silk, which is a much neglected medicine, is known as stigma maidis, and it is the thread-like strands, which are the stigma of the plant, that grow out of the husk and signify that the kernels are ready to be harvested. They are responsible for the growth of the corn because they aid in pollination, and for humans and animals, they offer a unique source of a number of nutrients, and one of its actions is therefore being a nutritive. It has other actions as well, including being a diuretic and a demulcent to the urinary system, and we know that demulcent means soothing and moistening to soft tissue. Also, it is anti-inflammatory to the urinary system specifically, and it is an alterative, which means that it aids in detox. Corn is cultivated all around the world, and when the cobs are harvested, while the silk is still somewhat green, it has powerful constituents that are useful for the body, including flavonoids, which are antioxidant-rich, potassium, magnesium, calcium, that means it's going to be great at balancing your electrolytes, amino acids, vitamins, sodium, another electrolyte, and the volatile oils, cytosterol, stigmasterol, alkaloids, and saponins. And we've talked about saponins in the past, which are a great potential And there are lots of ways to prepare your corn silk as well. You can eat it fresh on salads, you can dry and powderize it to add it to soups, and you can also preserve it as medicine. You can tincture it fresh by rinsing it well and then cutting it with scissors or chopping it up and then putting it in a tincture jar with alcohol or a canning jar with alcohol. You can also dry it and then add it to decoctions. And some like to powderize it and then add it to capsules. Basically, however you can get it in is good. Typical dosages include 1 to 2 droppers full of tincture, 2 tablespoons in a tea, and 400 to 500 milligrams in capsules. And again, it is safe for basically everybody unless you are allergic to corn, or if you are taking a diuretic and you have to be careful about how much diuretic you're taking, use some caution there with corn silk or any other type of diuretic. But in general, it is very safe. And unlike pharmaceutical diuretics, where this has potassium in it, it is not going to deprive your body of potassium. I do like to combine corn silk with a bunch of different types of herbs. Goldenrod together with corn silk does help with a stiff back or difficulty finishing urination. So if you sit down, you use the bathroom and you feel like, I think I'm done, maybe, and then you get up and you're like, nah, I'm not quite done yet, or you have to use the bathroom very frequently because you feel like you're never finished, goldenrod combined with corn silk can be really great for that. You can also combine the corn silk with St. John's wort for congested or underactive kidneys. So that's looking at the GFR rate. If you do the labs and you find the filtration rate is under 70, then working with a combination of St. John's wort and corn silk can be really great. It also combines well with golden seal, which is really helpful for any kind of kidney or bladder related situation. But it is important not to overuse golden seal, so I like to use barberry for most cases in place of it because golden seal is overharvested and we don't want it to disappear. You can also combine corn silk with uva ursi for infections, with saw palmetto for benign prostate hyperplasia or for prostate inflammation. You can combine it with yarrow for cystitis or bladder inflammation, and corn silk with marshmallow for stones. Corn silk, as you can imagine, thinking about the plant in general, it has a sweet and cool and mild pungent taste. Herbs with these flavors do tend to be nourishing, anti-inflammatory, and generally moving to body fluids, so it makes sense that it does all of those things for the urinary tract. And there are lots of cases or indications for using corn silk. And here are some of these. It can soothe and relax passages, including constricted ureters and urethra, allowing easier passage of urine and stones. It helps with clearing pus, mucus, or foam from the urine. It helps with bladder drip and incontinence, bedwetting, inflamed prostate or prostate inflammation, burning sensations. It flushes out toxins from the kidneys and bladder and elsewhere in the body. It has been studied and found to lower LDL and triglyceride cholesterol. It helps to elevate insulin, which in the end lowers blood sugar. And it can lower inflammation such as in gout and arthritis because it gets rid of excess fluid. It supports nerve, muscle, and heart function through nutrition and stimulates the release of digestive enzymes and bile for better digestion. So lots of wonderful things. The next time that you go to your local farm stand or to your farmer's market, be sure to save the corn silk from your cobs. Or if you're growing it yourself, be sure to do that. You would definitely want to make sure if you're buying it from the grocery store that you rinse it really well so that it's nice and clean, because it may be contaminated with all sorts of different things otherwise. And using appropriate caution, the corn silk is going to be wonderful for all kinds of health purposes. Okay, so if you do need assistance with creating a wellness plan for kidney or bladder health, anything related to urinary tract health, I would love to help you put something together that includes food and herbs and lifestyle choices. You can always reach out to me for an appointment by visiting www.laureltreewellnessllc.com or by emailing me personally at laureltreewellness@gmail.com. I hope you found today's episode helpful. If you think of someone that you know it would bless, please share it with them. And if you would like to leave a review on your podcast app, I always enjoy reading your letters. I appreciate the support that you send. And I am very grateful that I can be here and share this information with you. So I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will be back here again in just a few days, hopefully, with another episode requested by a listener. Have a great one, guys.
The Family Herbalism Podcast is created for educational purposes only. You are responsible for any and all medical and health decisions you choose to make. If you experience a medical emergency, please contact appropriate medical providers. To receive herbalist support, please visit www.laureltreewellnessllc.com. If you enjoy this podcast and find it helpful, please share it with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.